The first reading today, St. Paul exhorts us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which we were called. And then later, he speaks again about this calling, and he says that we are to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, even as you were called in the hope of your calling. So what exactly does that mean? Well, the hope of the calling, obviously, is heaven. It is looking forward to where we are going to be spending eternity. But in the meantime, it is a call to be, in the most generic sense, Christian, most specifically to be Catholic. And it is to be able to look at how we are to live that. Because St. Paul talks about the fact that we have to practice, or strive at least, for unity. Now, unity is something that we have been hearing an awful lot about lately, and by itself, it's a great thing. But what are we doing about it? Or what does it even mean? So, first of all, why would St. Paul talk about this so clearly? Because each and every one of us is baptized into the Lord Jesus. And because we're baptized into Jesus, we are called to be one with him. And if we are one with him, then we are going to be one with everyone else who is one with him. So if we're united with the Lord, we will be united with one another. Now that doesn't mean, obviously, that on everything we're going to have total agreement. In other words, you can have your own opinion, for instance, on what your tastes are, what you like and what you don't like. Not everybody here is going to like broccoli, and some people will. That's okay. Maybe your favorite color is blue and someone else's favorite color is orange. It doesn't matter. But when it comes to doctrine and morals, that's a whole different matter. Because we are called to be one in the Lord Jesus, who is the truth and who is charity. So in other words, there is only one truth, and there can only be one truth. There can be thousands and thousands of lies, but there can only be one truth, and he is the truth. So remember, as Catholics, we do not give our adherence to a series of logical propositions, but rather to a person. That person is the truth. That person is Jesus Christ. And so if we are going to be united with the Lord Jesus, that means we need to be conformed to the truth. Pure and simple. Now there are some truths that are relatively easy, some that are difficult, but nonetheless, most people don't have a problem with them. For instance, the truth regarding the Holy Trinity. We don't have a problem generally accepting the Trinity. We can't understand it. We never will, but we still can accept it. Where people run into trouble, however, is with the morality. And that's the other part of it, that we are to be one in love, in charity. You might think, what's that have to do with morality? Morality is about our relationships with God and with others. And so, in other words, it's putting the truth into practice. It's how we treat other people. And first of all, how we treat God. How we relate in that relationship with the Lord and with others. This becomes the critical point because it's the place where most people get tripped up. Again, we might say, I'm okay with this doctrine and that doctrine and so on, but then we turn around and say, yeah, but I don't believe this or I don't accept that. These things aren't options. When there is a clear teaching that the Lord has given to us, then we have to adhere with mind and heart. Now again, we have all kinds of senses of false unity that are going on. For For instance, when I was in the seminary, we had professors who didn't believe in the Holy Eucharist. We had professors who didn't believe in the Trinity. We had professors who didn't believe in Jesus. But when we went to Mass, it was forbidden to kneel because we all had to be united. And if we were all standing, that proves our unity. Like, really? We can't even believe and be united on the same basic truths, but if we're all standing at the same time, then we're united. Give me a break. Just like one of these things where all the priests have to go to these meetings every other year. About 20 years or so ago, one of the auxiliary bishops gave a talk, and he said in the midst of his talk, one of the concerns he had is that there were different priests in the diocese who have different ecclesiologies. Ecclesiology is about the church, what we believe about the church. And so the next day we had an open forum with the archbishop, so I got up and I asked him a question. I said, look, the bishop yesterday said there are different priests who believe in different ecclesiologies. I said, there is only one ecclesiology in the Roman Catholic Church, so I trust what the bishop is saying. What are we going to do about this? Well, he turned beet red, got really angry, and then looked at me and said, we're all in the same room right now. That was the answer. We're all in the same room right now. So the fact that we all showed up for a meeting means that we're somehow all united. He said, well, when I go to the airport, I'm in the same building with all kinds of people. We're not all going to the same place. In fact, we're going to hundreds of different places. Yeah, we're all united in the fact that we're going to get on an airplane and go somewhere. We're not united, even in something as basic as that. It's a false sense of unity. Right now, we again look at what's going on. The bishops of America, just this last week, approved a new translation of the Bible. By itself, that sounds fine until you find out what it was. And it is a translation that removed all references to any kind of impurity between two men or two women. And the bishops approved that. Because they come up with idiotic reasons like, well, in Greek, they don't have a word for that. Give me a break. If you've ever studied Greek, it is an extraordinarily precise language. They have words for just about everything. What a bunch of garbage. But basically, it's to say exactly what the priest at the Vatican keeps saying. St. Paul got it wrong. What the Bible says is wrong. Really? So the Bible is no longer the inspired word of God, and it's no longer inerrant. God made a mistake. Isn't that nice to know? St. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, got it wrong somehow. And now our bishops have approved that. This is to bring about unity. The very things that should bring about unity are at this point causing division. And the amazing thing is that what they're going to do is turn it around and say that the people who are causing division are the ones who believe what the Catholic Church teaches, because you're not in union with the people who don't believe that. We need to be in union with the Lord Jesus. Pure and simple. And if someone's not, then there can be no unity. Now, for our part, we need again to go back to what we're hearing. If St. Paul is telling us we need to be united in truth and in charity, we need them both. If we look at St. Teresa Benedict of the Cross, Edith Stein, a philosopher who, as she was pondering all these things, this is paraphrasing slightly, but she said, you need to have truth with charity because either one without the other is destructive. Think about that. One without the other is destructive. So in other words, you can have the truth, but if you have no charity, you're just going to beat people over the head with the truth. That's not going to do any good. And if you have a false sense of charity that's not rooted in truth, then it just comes down to being nice. Well, we need to be kind. But we need to be kind for the right reason. And it needs, again, to be based in the truth. Because any kind of false charity is false because it's not true. So just being nice isn't enough. We need to be about the truth with charity. We need both. So I think back, even if we look at a different context of that, had an opportunity to give a retreat to the missionaries of charity. And when the nun picked me up at the airport, we were talking as we were headed back to the place where the retreat was going to be. And I said, "Sister, is it true that you don't try to evangelize anybody?" She said, "Yeah, Father, that's true." And I said, "But sister, you know, this where the retreat was at an AIDS house. And so I said, but you've got people that are coming here to die and they need the Lord. They need to hear the gospel." And she looked at me and she said, "Father, we've had over 100 people die here." She said, "Most of our patients, when they come in," she said, "very few have ever been baptized. Very few are Catholic even." And she said, "So they come to us unbaptized. They don't know the truth at all." And she said, "But every single person who has died here has died with the sacraments. They were all baptized. They were all anointed. They were all prepared to go home." It was the fact of the sister's charity based in truth that brought all these people to conversion. So you need both. They didn't try to speak to anybody about it. That's what Jesus sent the apostles out to do. They had to preach to people. And in preaching to them, they brought them to conversion. The missionaries of charity, they treat people with charity. And in so doing, they open their hearts to receive that love. And then the people begin to ask the question, "Why? Why are you treating me this way? Why are you doing this? Why?" And that opens their mind to be able to accept the truth, because then they can explain what's behind it. But both have to be united. If the apostles were going to preach the truth, they still had to do it out of charity, out of love for the souls that they were preaching to. If the missionaries of charity are going to be charitable to these people, it has to be rooted in truth. And it is. So we need to reject any kind of falsehood, whether that's somebody who is speaking something against the truth, or whether that's somebody who is failing in true charity. These days, what's happening? You listen to the politicians, you listen to the TV, you listen to the advertisers. It's all emotional. They try to suck you in emotionally to accept something that is not true. Because, well, it wouldn't be very nice if we did this, would it? Wouldn't you want somebody, if you were in this kind of situation, how would you like to be treated? And then they pull at the heartstrings and we say, "Oh yeah, that's not very nice." Nowhere did Jesus say you have to be nice. We have to be charitable. Charity is not accepting falsehood. Charity is not accepting sin. Charity must be truth. That's what we have to be about. And so when St. Paul is calling us to this, reminding us of our vocation, our call, we are indeed to be united. united in Jesus Christ. The church is the mystical person of Jesus Christ. So we must be united in the fullness of the truth. We must be united in the church. We must be united with one another in truth and in charity. Anything less is a false sense of unity. So we can talk out of both sides of our mouth all that we want, but it doesn't work. It never has. Hypocrisy is a total failure. But we need to maintain the truth. We need to maintain it with charity, always, because one without the other is destructive. Both together are going to be edifying. It will open the hearts and it will open the minds of the people to be able to accept, to receive the truth. So this is not possible, by the way, without prayer. You can study the catechism, and we need to, and you can learn and you can fill your mind with truth. But in order to have your heart filled with love, you must be united with Jesus. So study. We are living among the least catechized generation in history. And it's not just this one, because the one before it was the least catechized before that, and the one before that was the least catechized before that. So we're living in a bad situation. We need to know the truth. We need to learn the truth. So study and learn, but seek union with Jesus, because he is the truth and because he is charity itself. And prayer will conform us to Christ. And if we are conformed to Christ, then we are conformed to the truth. We are conformed to love. Then we can be fulfilled in who we are called to be, and we can bring that light of truth and charity to touch the hearts and minds of others so that they too can know the same calling that we have been called to and the same hope of that calling, which is union with Jesus for eternity.